This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bredestein Pinza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, and the iHeartRadio app. Jeff Schwartz alongside. John Middlecoff's going to join us in like, what, 20 minutes, guys? Yeah, 20 minutes. We'll talk some about the Monday Night Football game last night, where there's a lot of takeaways from it. Rich people don't always know how to dress. Two, the whole hand, do I handshake, do I not handshake thing? And three, the weirdest streak in professional sports is over, right? It'd been how many years since the Ravens lost a preseason game?
24 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's now down to three, seven years.
It was 2015. So 8 years.
It's wild.
Yeah, wild. And it was an exciting. It was actually an exciting game, and I like again. I don't know if you think this. I'm not saying Buck and Aikman were bad at Fox, but it feels like they've been refreshed. It feels like look, when you're at ESPN, it feels a little bit more like Troy's flexing his football knowledge muscles in the season, and for whatever reason, I think Buck's better as well.
Well, I think this is the first game this year in the preseason we've had the traditional sort of TV setup, right? Where most of the time when you're watching a preseason game on NFL Network, it's the home broadcast, right? So this is the first one we get the kind of the whole professional, big, over-the-top broadcasting crew. I just thought they sounded very prepared. Like they knew all the players, they knew the position battles, they had talked to the coach. I think it was nice to hear that from a perspective of a neutral broadcaster, not just when you're listening to the one broadcast for the one home team of the feed that's being shown by NFL Network. That's what I liked last night. I agree they were both good last night, but I liked hearing sort of the big nature of the broadcast.
I did too. But I don't know. I just think in general those guys have been better and they feel kind of professionally refreshed. I don't know if other people feel that way, but
I never thought they were. I don't understand why people don't like Joe Buck. It makes no sense to me. I think he's really good. I think Aikman's. I mean, I never understand people really, really dislike broadcasters. And maybe it's easy to hate on people. And it's more fun to hate on people than it is to
generally. Yes.
Yeah. I never understood it. I think Buck is really, really good at his
job. Amazing. He was amazing at baseball.
Maybe the no baseball has him more refreshed. He has new baseball games right now.
Yeah. I would. That's probably a good call.
Yeah.
I just remember watching game 6 of the World Series when the Cardinals were in and David Freese, down the last strike twice, right? And they win the game and he and a tip of the cap to his dad and we'll see you tomorrow night. I was like, that was incredible. That in that moment he had that line and, I think he's unbelievable. So I'm with you. And maybe gives us a chance to he cracked a joke about his own HBO show getting canceled last night. I thought that was really funny.
People fantastic. Forgot,
right? That was a one show. That was a one show run. You didn't have to binge watch that one. Here's John Harbaugh, head coach of the Ravens, talking about that streak, the 24 game preseason winning streak coming to an end.
Think about something like that, and I just told our guys, you're proud of it, of course, you know, you appreciate it, but the thing that you're proud of is all those games are mostly just like that. You know, preseason games that people want to write about, some of you in here want to write about and say they don't mean anything because you never played the game. You never were out there in a preseason game. You never were fighting for a spot on a team. And yet you have the audacity to say that the effort that somebody puts into that to win and fight and win a game like that is meaningless. Tell me that was meaningless out there, what you just saw. If you like football, is that a meaningless football game? You know, I can't respect anybody that says that because of the effort these guys put into it. That's what you're proud of. And that's why I'm so proud of these guys for the way they fought. It doesn't matter win or loss. It matters the way they went about their business tonight. And I'm proud of them for that. Always will be.
I thought dudes were playing hard last night. Who was the tight end from the Commanders who dropped the ball on third down? I was like, man, that's a game. They really want to make preseason entertaining. Guy drops the ball, touches his hands in a game-winning drive. Cut him right there. Here's a pink slip. Too harsh, maybe. I don't know. But he's probably getting let go anyway.
Look, obviously the streak played, I think, a big role in Washington. Coach is right. Everyone's playing hard in the preseason. But the bigness and the energy in the stadium, I think, felt different because of the streak. But also, I think players understand what playing on Monday Night Football is, and there's just a little more juice, man. Like you're playing on national television. It's different than, obviously, as I mentioned, your game just being shown on NFL Network. You're on national television.
Yeah.
There's a streak to be beaten. Guys at the back of the roster are playing at the end of games. You mentioned Jake Fromm trying to put out film to show enough. Anthony Brown, the Ravens
Jake
quarterback.
Jake Fromm was better than Jacoby Brissett. That last interception from Jacoby Brissett was awful. I was like, man.
Yeah.
I like Jacoby Brissett, but damn, that was bad. And as you know, guys are not only fighting to put out tape, right? You want to put out a good tape for somebody else. But just in real time, if you're a GM, you're sitting around, you're watching, you're clicking around, watching the game. That's just very normal. So, yeah, you did get the competitive juices flowing. There's other aspects to it. Washington, of course, gave us our first nationally televised look at Sam Howell, their starting quarterback. Here's their head coach, Ron Rivera, on Howell's game.
I thought Sam did exactly what we were hoping him, expecting him to do. Went out, executed, took control of the offense, took control of the huddle, did a good job at the line of scrimmage. You know, there are a couple of things I know that he does want to have back, but I thought he executed and handled the situation, circumstances the way he needed to. There's a lot of pressure, obviously, and we know how important the quarterback position is in the league and how important it is, you know, in this area. You know, that we've been looking for one, and I think we have an opportunity to have a guy that has a chance to be a really good football player for us.
I mean, like, look, it's a preseason, but he looks steady as he goes, and I'm fascinated to see how the Commanders, what this season looks like, because throughout Ron Rivera's tenure, it's like whoever he throws out there ends up getting hurt, and it derails any sort of chance of being competitive. Now he's thrown out a former fourth-round pick, and can they be competitive if he stays healthy?
I think they can be competitive because the roster is really good, and it's obviously a season where I think Ron Rivera has to be competitive with a new owner who did not hire him,
yep.
Who's going to want to put his own touches on this team, and it's kind of unfair to Ron, who's had to deal with a lot as the head coach, right? He's had to be the spokesperson at some points when ownership should have been the ones in front of the camera, and you know, he's done a fabulous job of doing that job and also being the head coach of the Commanders, and they have a really talented roster. There's a lot to be excited for at the wide receiver position. It seems like Terry McLaurin is going to be fine after seeing a little injury yesterday. Good at running back. Offensive line is solid. Defensively, a very good defensive line. And if Chase Young comes back healthy and like he has been in previous years, they're even better. Like, they've been a quality defense for many years now. It comes down to Sam Howell and how good can he be? My general assessment, Doug, of preseason play, because we're seeing, you know, twos versus twos, ones versus twos, ones versus threes, twos versus threes. It's hard to know who's in the game. Does it look like it should, right? And last night, Sam Howell looked like it should, which is a positive thing, right? You don't want it to look like it shouldn't look. Does it look like it should? And Sam Howell operated the game last night like he should against a lot of backups, okay? And I like the performance. It doesn't mean I think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback this season, but if he can just do that, be average, move the ball, limit mistakes, they're going to be in the hunt for a playoff spot. I think many people are picking them to finish fourth in that division.
I think they finish better than fourth in that division. I don't know which.
So who's last for you?
I don't know. Again, I don't. There's a lot of. There's so much unknown there. I love the idea of him being average. What if you did like 1, 2, 3 average? There we go. That'd be very cool. I would be into that. Keeper's Heart is a new and unique style of whiskey that combines the best of Irish and American whiskeys, creating the smooth character of Irish whiskey and the bold flavor of American whiskeys. If you're a whiskey fan, you've got to try it. Drink responsibly. All right. There was the Josh Harris in the booth moment, which has gone viral. Okay, so Josh Harris he's worth, I don't know, it says $6 billion, right? But he's the managing general partner of the Commanders, of the Sixers, of the Flyers. Anything else? He's a former hedge fund guy. He's got a lot of money. So he is, you want to guess his age?
47.
No,
he's too young.
Yeah.
57.
58. So you're sort of close.
Okay. Right?
Sort of close. By the way, he holds degrees from Wharton and the Harvard Business School, right? Like, Josh Harris it's the Devils, the Commanders, and the 76ers. Okay. And he's the co-founder of private equity firm Apollo Global. So he's worth a lot of money. He's up there in the booth with Aikman and Buck. How would you describe the polo shirt he was wearing?
like he went to a thrift store on the way in and just found...
No, it's not a thrift store. Come on. What if it's like Armani and we're like, we're completely missing this thing?
It's a faded burgundy polo with a pocket in the front.
It did look faded.
It looked like it had been either worn way too many times or had been sitting in the back of a closet for 20 years. Or again, he just was like, I don't have a burgundy shirt. I'm going to the nearest store I can find on the way in tonight, and we're buying, because he could have just walked up to the equipment guy and said, hand me a coach's polo, like hand me a Commander's polo. And instead, Armani polos have pockets in the front of them?
I don't know.
I would imagine the answer is no.
I don't know Armani polo, but I would guess it's one of those, like, that's expensive, but okay. It didn't have a button, so it did look a little unkempt. It did look a little faded. And I couldn't tell. It looked like he was sweating, like in that top part of the belly thing, or he got a little spot on it, you know, drinking or eating something before the game, which, it's a kindred spirit, right? I've never worn anything that I don't get something on at some point in time. But I also am not a billionaire owner that can't go like, hey, dude, somebody will get me a polo. I'm about to be on national TV. So I thought the polo was, it was... Jay Stu, you mentioned it. You're always fascinated by what rich people wear.
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine all the options that billionaires have, either to have people shop for them or to be up on your style. And also, if you have a significant other in your life, they should always check you before you go out the door. If you don't have faith in what you're wearing, and I'm one of those guys, I'll just check with the missus and just be like, what do you think? I mean, that obviously he didn't do that checklist.
Yeah, there was no chance. I think Marjorie is his wife's name. There's no chance he was like, Marge, what do you think? She's like, are you going in public? Or are you going to like go work on the car? So, yeah, that's one of those you stop before they get. But just having a friend just like, hey, boss, what do you think about throwing on one of these new Commander polos? Nah, I like this one. Boss, I think you need to throw on one of these new Commander polos.
Yeah. I'm just curious if he had on something else and took it off to put this on for the interview. Like maybe he thought going like, you know, was he making the rounds up in the box earlier with his suit and tie
on?
And
he was on the field, then he came up, then he went back down to the field.
So he wore this all night. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it unexpected. I put it like that.
Okay. What about the handshake? Okay. So for people who haven't seen it yet virally, Jeff Schwartz, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. Joe Buck, he's talking to Joe, or Joe's talking, and Joe's using his hands, and he extends his right hand, and it does look like, you know, based upon hand positioning, that he's going in for a handshake, only he's not making the handshake eye contact, right? So then Harris goes and at some point goes like, okay, I'll shake your hand, and then they both pull it away, like, ugh! It's almost like, if you're ever sitting next to another dude in the movie theater, you know, you're supposed to leave space between you and somebody else in the movie theater. Yeah. And then you use the same hand rest, arm rest for a second. Yes. Then all of a sudden you both instinctively pull your arm back. There was a little bit of that last night.
Absolutely. The best part by far was Troy Aikman holding in a laugh, because he saw it happen and he tried not to laugh because he's on national television, and it was the best. That was by far the best part. It wasn't even the awkward handshake. It was the fact that Troy Aikman saw it and giggled to himself.
Well, and Van Pelt made fun of it too on the cut-in. He's like, he just wanted a handshake. That's all he wanted, was a handshake.
Well, they probably think about it, did they not shake hands when he entered the booth?
No.
Like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Or was it like they were already on live television when he entered the booth? I feel like that would have already happened. That makes it even more awkward that he went for a second handshake.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't the end of the conversation, too, and that's usually when a handshake occurs, right? Hey, good to see you. Congratulations to the team. You make eye contact. But he did see kind of a flailing hand out there, and you're like, you know. It also reminds me of post-COVID, we've gotten, and I actually think this started with the Obama thing, right? Obama was like the fist bump president, you know, and you never know, like, am I going in for fist bump? Am I going for handshake? And then with COVID, we also threw in the elbow thing that somehow became like acceptable, like elbow, fist, or handshake. I just think you got to go in super early. You got to make eye contact before you decide what you're doing. Got to be, eye contact is everything. Got to make some eye contact.
Yeah, I've had this thing to many of us. I still go handshake, man. I'm back to handshake now. I'm not fist bumping anybody. Mm. Yeah, huh. I'm back to handshake. No?
Huh?
Are you not?
I'm a handshaker. Yeah, I love a good handshake. Good firm handshake.
I just go right in.
I mean, there's lots of dudes I do that do the fist bump. I'll do the fist bump to people that I don't know, or I don't know where their hands have been. Or it's like, it's a way of connecting without real, like, a handshake is a real firm connection, eye contact thing, whereas a fist bump is, you know, like, we're not really Facebook friends, or you don't have to follow me on social media, but I like you.
I acknowledge that we know each other.
I acknowledge that we share the earth together and we're not arch enemies.
Someone needs to ask Josh Harris where he got this polo from. I'm still looking at it again.
Very concerned about this.
I am. It's just, it's not ownership approved.
Yeah, I always thought private equity guys were always overdressed. That was always my assumption. You know, and maybe part of being rich is you can wear what you want, but if that's what you want, like, come on, man. It's your first time on national TV and a public-facing, front-facing owner of one of the historic franchises in the NFL. I don't want to be critical, but I'm going to be a little critical.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Well, they remixed Far Side? I had no idea. Doug Gottlieb, and of course, Jeff Schwartz in for Dan the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Schwartz, did you see that Baker Mayfield named starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today?
The fight for Caleb Williams is on. I would have started Kyle Trask for that, but I get why they started Baker Mayfield.
You think they're tanking?
No. I mean, I don't think they're trying to tank. Tanking is done with the roster, right? It's done with having a really bad football team starting at quarterback. I think Tampa's too good for that. They have enough good players.
And their division stinks.
But they're in a really tough spot because, I mean, ideally you would absolutely be tanking, right? Because Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask are not your future. You could have a situation where you got really bad this year, started Kyle Trask and sucked up, but Todd Bowles is fighting for his job. He can't tank this year. Jonathan Gannon can in Arizona because it's the first year. Bowles goes 4-13.
Yeah.
He won't be the coach next year.
Well, it's interesting because Bowles was in this exact same position when he was with the Jets, right, his last year, where people thought they were tanking there. They ended up winning 6 games. And it was very surprising that he won 6 games.
Yeah.
So I think that element to it is really interesting. I also just think the fall off of Baker Mayfield is fascinating, that we just now come to grips with the fact that, hey, maybe he's not that good. And
I've thought that for years, but I was on an island with that take for a while.
I was actually on the other side of that island. It was weird that we didn't run into each other. It must have been a much bigger island with a lot more forest, and we're just like, I'm just gonna stay here on the beach and wait for somebody to come rescue us. But yeah, that's really, as for Arizona, okay, so you think they tank, get Caleb Williams, and trade Kyler Murray?
I think they will try to trade Kyler Murray, even though his contract is probably nearly impossible for that to happen. You have a new general manager and a new head coach with no allegiance to Kyler Murray whatsoever. They made it clear this year that they are stockpiling picks. They did a great job in the draft of getting more picks for next year. And there's just no allegiance to Kyler Murray. There's none whatsoever. And I think they will try to move him. Again, the contract makes it tough. The suitors probably make it tough. But I think in an ideal world, they would love to have... Caleb Williams is different. I hate comparing players to kind of Hall of Fame talents in like a Patrick Mahomes. Caleb Williams is a Hall of Fame talent. It doesn't mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Where you go, who's your coach, who's your weapons, your injury status, those all play a role in it. But Caleb Williams has elite talent at that position. And if I were Arizona, and I would get off Kyler Murray as soon as possible to draft him if I was able to do so.
John Middlecoff joins us, 3 and Out podcast extraordinaire. Of course, he's a former scout in the National Football League, and he joins us in the Dan Patrick Show with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Is that a plausible plan if you're Arizona?
Well, I was watching him against the Chiefs, and they're god awful. And I understand it's the preseason, but you look at the roster. I mean, they're really, and it's hard to predict, right? I mean, I predicted last year the Giants in Seattle be drafting the top 5, so things change in the NFL. But that team stinks. I think if you have the number 1 overall pick, assuming Caleb just keeps doing what he's doing, and I think you saw last night on Monday Night Football. I mean, Josh Harris greenlit the James Harden trade, right? He wanted James Harden on the Sixers. Kyler Murray, Washington Commanders, get a little juice. Got that one written all over, assuming Sam Howell, you know, is average to below this year. So I always think you can unload a quarterback talent because, listen, I'm not a huge Kyler Murray guy. I like my quarterbacks to have some maturity to them. But I've never disputed his physical attributes, and when he's right, he's definitely an intriguing player, and he's played at a really high level in the NFL. That, like Jeff was saying, the contract is a disaster. It honestly, looking back, it really is crazy. It made no sense. Like, they were not why they did that at the time they did that. And it's, I don't think any contract, because even some of the running back contracts, right? I mean, Todd Gurley, Zeke, we're talking like $40, $50 million guaranteed. When you start talking $170, $180 million guaranteed on a guy that you basically immediately regret, that's an all-time, kind of doozy.
John, you're very plugged into the Bay Area. Is Trey Lance going to be an outright cut for the Niners in a couple of weeks, or are they going to keep him around? What's the plan for Trey Lance?
Yeah, I mean, I think only internally, like Kyle and like their kind of star core know that, you know, anytime you have a third quarterback, he should never be talked about, ever. Like, it should be the last thing anyone ever talks about. But when you factor in how much they traded for him, he would be the most discussed third quarterback in the history of the league, really on a weekly basis. Anytime their starter, whether it's Purdy, you know, if he were to go down, Darnold, the moment Purdy started to struggle, it's not just because Sam Darnold's going to be the second quarterback. People would be like, well, it should be Trey's time. So it's just one of those that I could see. I mean, Belichick did this for years, right? The moment there was any sense of distraction, he removed it. Now, I think they really like Trey Lance. I know people on the internet thought that his fourth quarter performance was like Tom Brady-like. I mean, it was against a bunch of guys that, let's face it, are not going to be NFL roster guys. But you could also say if the greatest performance of your NFL career came at the end of a fourth quarter in a preseason game, not ideal. So I think it's 50-50 now. To trade him, he makes a lot of money relative to backup quarterbacks and definitely third-string quarterbacks because he was drafted so high. So the Niners would have to eat some money, right? He's making $9 million this year, I think like almost $10 million next year. They would probably have to do what the Broncos did years ago when they ate all that Von Miller money to get the picks. Now, the Broncos got like a second and a third or whatever for Von Miller. The 49ers, what were we talking, sixth, seventh-round pick? But I definitely think that's on the table.
What is their level of confidence in Sam Darnold? And I bring that up because, you know, you have a quarterback last year who, you know, not drafted, but obviously high football IQ, very accurate. But second time around, you know, they figure you out. Whereas Darnold is a guy with at least it appears to have a lot more talent, right? Pure raw, you know, body type, arm talent or whatever. Like, is Sam Darnold actually the best quarterback on that roster?
Yeah, he's definitely the most physically gifted. I mean, part of, and we talk about this all the time, right? Guys that, for every Caleb Williams or Patrick Mahomes, there are guys that don't have all the measurables that have, like, this innate, the instincts to play the position. And Purdy definitely has a lot of that. But, you know, Sam Darnold, he throws the ball. I always thought his arm was a little overrated, but watching him this preseason, like, he definitely can swing it. I think it's pretty simple that this was a player that easily could have gone a lot of places throughout the NFL to be a lock backup. I mean, technically he competed here. I don't ever viewed it really as a competition because I think any time that the coach signs you for $3.5 million when you had clearly other options, you're kind of told. But I also think he was kind of told, like, listen, we drafted this guy at the end of the seventh round. He's already injured. There's no guarantee that this guy's going to maintain playing. And this is the type team. It's why we love Trey Lance when they drafted him. Like, what a great place to go. You just throw screen passes, get the ball to George Kittle, and your numbers look awesome, and you win games. But he just struggled to do that in his limited time. So I know for a fact Kyle likes him, and I don't blame him. I like him too because he's only 25 years old. And like we all talked about, the physical gifts, you're talking about a blue chipper from USC who was handed – you know, one of the worst situations in recent memory, given the team, definitely the Jets, and even the Carolina situation was not ideal. I mean, I think he's looked really good through the preseason game, so it would not shock me. Just, I mean, who knows if Purdy's going to be able to stay healthy. He's not the biggest guy that if Sam Darnold came in for the 49ers and played well.
I'm so fascinated by the Niners because I don't think we've seen a team that has such elite talent, left tackle, running back, pass rusher, linebacker, a slash player in Adebo, but just can't find a quarterback. And it's, somehow the staff sort of gets a break on that. Like, if this is anyone else, you'd be like, yeah, the staff can't find a quarterback. That's a problem. Why is there not that criticism for Kyle Shanahan compared to maybe other places when they would kind of get criticized for not being able to find that franchise guy?
Yeah, I mean, I just think at the end of the day, it's about winning big, and he's won 6 playoff games in 4 years. So I know he hasn't won the Super Bowl, but if you're rattling off playoff wins, I mean, this was a team really beside, and Jeff, you know this, I mean, beside the Chiefs, is there any team in the league that's really Super Bowl or bust? Like, if the Cowboys this year were to make the NFC Championship game, it would be an awesome accomplishment for the franchise. So does it suck to lose in the NFC Championship game? Of course. But if you're getting there, it's a pretty big deal. This franchise obviously means a lot to the NFL in terms of being able to be good and be put on primetime games with ratings, and they have just, you know, you just watch them play. They're well coached. They're an easy watch. They're just, you know, a huge part of it is Kyle, right? So he gets part of it. They swung and they missed on Trey Lance, which I would have gone Justin Fields, which who knows? That might have not worked either. I definitely would have gone Mac Jones. We might just look back as they never should have traded. They should have just taken like Micah Parsons or something. Obviously they should have, but they're winning. And as long as you, I mean, last year they won 13 games. So you consistently do that. You consistently win the division. It's really hard for anyone to kind of talk crap about what you're doing.
John Minkoff's our guest. Three and Out is his podcast. It's outstanding. It's on the Volume Podcast Network. He joins us on the Dan Patrick Show with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Dan the Danette's back Thursday live from Ireland. I'm watching last night with the Ravens, and obviously we didn't see Lamar Jackson. And one of the things that I've never really understood is people act like the Ravens haven't used their resources to get wide receivers before this year. Right? When they've drafted wide receivers in the first, second, third round, they gave Mark Andrews a bunch of money. They got J.K. Dobbins. Obviously, he's been hurt a bunch. But they have gone out and gotten Odell Beckham, probably overpaid for him. Right? Then they get Zay Flowers. Dobbins is back. Still have Mark Andrews. And now a whole new offense. What's your level of confidence that this will work?
And you forget the year that they drafted Mark Andrews, who turned out to be the best tight end in their draft, because they also drafted Hayden Hurst
right.
in the first round.
Right.
So, I mean, they have definitely put Hollywood Brown. They put a lot of resources there. I think they could be good. I mean, they have the organizational consistency over the years. If he's healthy, they should be a playoff level team. When you see those images, though, of Odell Beckham and Clowney on the sideline, it kind of has like NBA feel of like signing some big names. That's not usually the way it works in the NFL, right? If you just watch random preseason games, you watch all these random guys that, unless you're some college football nut, guys having success that are going to go on to make teams and be contributing players. It does feel a little bit like, you know, the Clowney and definitely the Odell Beckham. If that was, I mean, the Odell Beckham for sure was to make Lamar happy. Is that really the way to win the NFL? Clearly that division, I mean, we know how good the Bengals have been. I think the Steelers are going to be really good. Who knows with the Browns, but it can't be disputed. They got a bunch of talent. So I think this is just a reality. Anytime you pay the quarterback astronomical amount of money, it's like this way in Philly. It was like this way last year with Arizona. The pressure goes up, what do you think, like 5-10-fold? Like, we already, it's the NFL, so we, you know, put everything through the microscope, especially when you have good teams. But I think you could feel there's a pressure. And even John Harbaugh, after the game, about winning the preseason game, like, I don't think missing the playoffs this year, and it's just par for the course with them, the Steelers, and the Bengals now. They're all kind of held to each other's standard. And I just think there's a lot of pressure, and especially when you factor in how good the AFC is going to be. There is definitely going to be some very, very talented quarterbacks that whenever the first, you know, that wild card round that are watching on TV with all of us.
I think Washington can be a playoff team if Sam Howell is any good. What are your expectations for him with kind of first year as a starter? Eric Bieniemy is the OC, and there's a pressure in Washington to win, or that coaching staff is going to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, I thought last year when their quarterback situation was crazy, that if you just watched them on a random week and you didn't have any bias or agenda, you went, God, they got a lot of talent in a lot of different positions. right? They weren't your typical non-playoff team last year. Like, if they had solid quarterback play, just a little more consistency. Like, the one thing that clearly is weird is the Bienemy, Ron Rivera thing. Now, ultimately, if you start winning games early, who cares? I mean, we saw last year they pushed around the Eagles. They were my kind of sleeper pick in the summer. But just watching the Giants, I mean, I think Dayball's a stud. If they get Darren Waller right, how does Washington not finish last in that division, right? I think Cowboys and Eagles are clearly better. And then to me, you know, I expect Daniel Jones to kind of take that jump the way Alex did once he got with Andy. He just became like a better player. And part of it is you just got better players around you in terms of the skill positions. You got Saquon, got his mind right. I definitely think, you know, Washington could be feisty. But the other thing is, anytime you get that new owner, you kind of get all these conversations going. We're already talking quote-unquote hot seat because he is. I mean, every single human will be fired in that building besides some of the players. So I think if they don't start fast, it just could get weird immediately.
Yeah. How problematic is the Jets' offensive line considering not just expectations, but also they don't have any easy ones out of the gate?
Yeah, I mean, I was really high on the Jets, and then, you know, I'm not trying to do my scouting off Hard Knocks, but if you watch, you go, God, their offensive line stinks. And if you don't have solid tackle play, I don't care how good you are at running the ball, and they should be pretty good at running the ball, right? I mean, you add Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, you know, come with that mindset of when Aaron Rodgers kind of resurrected his career in 19 with LaFleur, they really started hammering the run, and then it opened everything up. Now, their offensive line was clearly better in Green Bay, but it's going to be tough, especially, I mean, the teams in that division can all rush the passer. You got a lot of defense. Think about the defensive coordinators in that division. You got Belichick, you got Fangio, and you got Sean McDermott. So, I mean, it's just hard. Now, on the flip side, the one way to make up for it, what if their defense is just unreal? I mean, their pass rush, Quinnen Williams looks like a bigger version of Warren Sapp. They've drafted multiple edge rushers the last 2 years that both look pretty darn good. Sauce is easily going to be one of the better, if not the best, lockdown corner in the NFL, maybe him or the dude in Denver. So I just wonder, maybe the defense can help them up, but ultimately, you know, and we've seen this where they've let themselves down with the Packers, right? They just haven't got it done sometimes in offense the last couple of years in the frigid cold, which it's hard. Now, it's not quite as cold in New York, but if you can't protect Aaron, you know, at 39 years old, I mean, Brady was older, but you really saw it the last couple of years. I'm not getting peppered here. Yeah. I guess Rodgers is going to sit in there till the bitter end, Andrew Luck style, and deliver strikes. You know, it's harder to do when you got hundreds of millions. Now, He clearly is pretty motivated. Like, this, not just this year, but the next 2 years are big. So maybe, like, I've been kind of singing their praises, but if you think about their offensive line, you got to change your tune. I wonder if next year they're more likely with another offseason to add to the offensive line to be more formidable than this year.
John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast on the Volume Podcast Network. You're the best, Johnny. Talk soon.
Thanks, John.
See you guys later.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes, along with my man Jeff Schwartz. Labor Day signals the end. That fall is fast approaching. Apple picking. Oh, we'll get to that upcoming. My bad. Do love a little apple picking. You know, it's interesting, Jeff. We talked a little bit about the Commanders and how they're in this window now of building this roster because they don't have a quarterback making a bunch of money. No team is, you know, I would say the other two teams in that position are the Bengals and the Chargers. Now, the Bengals eventually will sign Joe Burrow to an extension, which will likely go live next year. But the Chargers have signed Justin Herbert to an extension, which will go live next year. Obviously, already collects his money this year. But the point is that this is the year, right, for the Chargers. And, you know, you bring in Kellen Moore's now your offensive coordinator, so they feel better there in terms of fit. As of now, fully healthy. You know, you get Rashawn Slater back. You got Derwin James. You got Joey Bosa. Again, we'll see if they can maintain their health. Isn't there kind of an urgency there? And yet, you tell anybody who hasn't really paid attention to rosters and what they're doing, like, and it's still the Chargers. But what are your thoughts on that team and the urgency to win?
Well, they are still the Chargers. I mean, that is part of it, right? That's part of it that clouds our judgment of them, because we've seen in football, whether NFL or college, there's those teams that sometimes just can't get out of their own way for whatever reason. One thing they did this offseason too, Doug, that I think is not being talked about but also is very important, is they fired their trainer, their athletic trainer, and hired someone different. And they've been injury prone for years now. And I think that's going to make a big difference in their injury prevention and their ability to stay healthy. You mentioned the players they have back. I mean, you're adding all pro players back to the lineup. You're only going to be better this season. I just think that, again, there is a little bit of, do we trust them in a division with the Chiefs to do what they should be doing? Because, you know, again, they've proven over the years to not be trustworthy in those big moments. They're good, though. I love Justin Herbert. As you mentioned, they have an all-pro left tackle coming back. They drafted the wide receiver out of TCU. Like, they got dudes, man. It's just a matter of staying healthy and not being the Chargers.
It's a hard thing to break through. But I would say that, it's on a different level. Okay, I'm not saying it's, but you remember the Chiefs before they got Mahomes? They were constantly falling short, usually at home in the first round of the playoffs, right?
Yep.
And then you get a breakthrough quarterback, and now they've at least been in the AFC Championship game every year he's been a starter. And so, I mean, like, look, you look at the progression, and should have made the playoffs 2 years ago, didn't, lost that crazy last game to the Raiders. That wasn't the game that killed him. The Texans game killed him because they had like 20 players out, right? And then last year, you know, should have beaten the Jaguars. You got a huge lead in the first half and didn't. But the natural progression would be, okay, you take the next step this year, but we're still held back by the Chargers are going to charger because they've chargered so much.
Yeah. And the Chargers actually play the Chiefs really tough each year, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're the one team that's gone Arrowhead most often and beaten them and played close games. And so there's not a fear from them, I think, of having to go through the Chiefs in that division. They just it seems like they play their best game every year against them. And so, no, there's a real possibility they're going to be a 11-12 win team this year and do some damage in the playoffs. I think for a lot of us, and same with, I feel the same way, I kind of have to see you do it first. first before I really believe it's going to be a thing. And when you blow a 27-point lead last year on the road like you did, a lot of us are like, well, I don't know, got to see it happen again this season. Sure. The Kellen Moore addition is huge because Justin Herbert has a gifted, talented arm, and they did not use it to the best of its ability the last couple of seasons. So does Kellen Moore get that out of him early in the year?
I mean, and I know you watch football differently than me. I do watch every snap of the Chargers. I mean, I don't know. I think part of it is you can't have a quarterback stand back there and throw deep when you don't have your left tackle. And you have Austin Ekeler, and you got him the ball a bunch. So, I mean, you know, it all has to make sense. I do think Kellen Moore is going to be better as an offensive coordinator, but I don't know if I'd be so critical of not throwing the ball deep downfield because you have to. Keenan Allen's not a deep threat. Mike Williams is not healthy enough. And, you know, you just kind of throw it up to Mike Williams. You got to have the guys and the time to throw the ball deep.
You absolutely do. That is correct. You can, you know, there are ways to obviously scheme up certain ways to kind of max protect and make it happen. But you're right. They don't have that. And maybe Johnson's that wide receiver now, even though I think that's not what his skill set will be in the NFL. But I think just having, you know, an offense that. Really, you know, Herbert, I think the one knock on Herbert sometimes, he actually goes through his reads too fast and just immediately checks down to Austin Ekeler, which is not a bad option.
Sure.
But getting him out of doing that, I think, is going to be important for more offensive success, more sustained success over a season.
Yeah.
I will say, though, it does take 8 to 10 regular season weeks
to get that
for
new offense
to really feel good. Yeah. And even Kirk Cousins mentioned this in that quarterback series. It's like it takes about that time. So Charger fans, like,
they got Dolphins first week of the season too against Vic Fangio.
It might be a little funky early on. Just be prepared for that.
It is the final week of our summer of tire sweepstakes. We had two big winners so far. This is for a set of four brand new tires. Anthony K from Huntingburg, Indiana, and Nelson L from Roswell, Georgia. And one last winner is still up for grabs. Our third winner will be picked on Sunday to win a set of four tires plus insulation, taxes, and fees valued up to $1,500. Enter daily at foxsportsradio.com. Every single day you get a fresh new entry and an additional chance to win. And it's free to register. To enter and get rules during the final week of the sweepstakes, visit foxsportsradio.com. Sponsored by TireRack.com. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. This has been fun, Jeff. Now, you'll be on, you're on the weekends, right?
Back on Sunday. I'm actually back tomorrow morning filling for the for two pros and a cup of Joe. As they're in Ireland. I think they go to Ireland, too. And then, Sunday's 10 to 1 Eastern. Our gambling show is back for the year. I'm excited.
Gambling show is back. All right. Well, you made me want to put a little money down on the Commanders over. What is the over-under?
I have done that.
What is it, 5?
I think it's 7.5.
That's a lot of wins. It says 17 game season, so. And I can hear you clicking them out. They were over that last year. But so was the entire division. Of course, three teams made the playoffs. For Jeff Schwartz, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.